All right, well, good morning, everyone. Let's do it one more time. Good morning, everybody. Excellent. Hey, my name is Mike. I am one of the pastors on staff here. And growing up, my favorite animal was a lion. All right? We talked about this a little bit last weekend. When I was a kid, I would plop myself down in front of the TV, and I loved it when Mutual Omaha's Wild Kingdom came on. I had somebody say to me this week, like, what is that? So here's the deal. Young people, Mutual Omaha Wild Kingdom, that is Nat Geo for old people when we were young people, all right? And so, which I guess you can't watch Nat Geo unless you have Disney Plus now, right? So, well, whatever. So, but I loved it. You know, they take the cameras to deepest, darkest Africa, and they would start to follow these things around. And I was just enamored, you know. And we talked about this a little bit last weekend. I was one of the kids who cheered for the Predators. All right, so my favorite part of the show is when the lion goes out to lunch. To see this animal, it's, you know, it's like 10 feet long. It is 500 pounds. It'll kick into gear at 50 miles an hour. And to watch it chase down a zebra, to watch it pull down a water buffalo, I just thought that was the greatest thing in the world. I'd be cheering at the TV. One of these things, if given the opportunity, they will eat about 60 pounds of raw meat in one sitting. None of this vegan mess for the lions, right? They're doing this right. Meat is on the menu. And so I thought that was amazing. And in fact, even as a child, I had enough sense to know, this is not an animal you want upset with you. It is not going to go well for you if you got one of these things coming for you. Which is why it's never quite made sense to me, like the whole lion taming thing. I'm like, Who gets in a cage, locks themselves in with a group of these things, and then tries to get these animals to do tricks? It didn't make sense to me. And yet people have been doing this for generations and to varying degrees, successfully or not, right? So so growing up, my favorite animal was a lion. Now, if you're sitting out there and you're going, this is all very fascinating, and thank you for this little window into your childhood, what does any of this have to do with church? Let me explain. So we are in week three of a series that we have entitled Rethink Money. And what we're doing in this series is we're just going, hey, what would it look for us to think differently about money than our culture encourages us to? So as to get a different outcome with money than we have typically had. Because for a lot of us, our money feels about as manageable as a full-grown lion. And some of us were struggling because we feel like the lion tamer in this picture when it comes to our money, right? It's not going well for us, right? We've gotten into the cage, and we just got ate up by this stuff. And so what we're doing in each week of this series, we're looking at a different facet of finances, and we're going, hey, what can we do to take control here instead of having this stuff control us? And so this weekend, we're going to look at one of the best tools available to us when it comes to taming the savage beast that our money so often feels like. So let's take a minute and pray, invite God to be part of this, and then we'll dive into things for today. Father, just as there's so much going on here in our church today, as there's so much going on in our world today, we just ask that you'd help us, please. As we get ready to celebrate and to remember Dr. King and his legacy tomorrow, Father, thank you for his courage, for his willingness to take a stand for truth and against injustice. Thank you that we are so different as a country today than we were when we lost Dr. King, and yet there is so much more that needs to happen. A lot of ground has been taken, but there is so much more that still needs to be taken. Father, we pray that we would continue to change. As a nation, we would continue to change as a people and as individuals and as a church, that we would lead in that. Father, just for some of the needs among us as Sherry Stewart is getting ready for open heart surgery, God, we pray for your hand of mercy on her. As Maria Todd is mourning the loss of her mother this week, we pray for her and her brother and their family, for healing for them. And God, just as we take time to look at the Bible and to talk about money, please help us to be receptive to you and your truth about something that so often we can be resistant to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So you think about lion tamers, think about tools. What's the number one tool that every good lion tamer has? A whip, yeah, right? Okay. So every good lion tamer has themselves a whip. All right? And they get into the cage with these animals and they start. You all right there, Jesse? You look a little nervous there, right? I don't think I can get it that far. You have cause to be concerned, Cheryl, all right? So they get in there and they crack this baby. And they tell the lions what to do and where to go and how to do it. And if they crack it well enough, there's a little bug there on the floor. There's no longer a bug on the floor, so I'm going to shoot. All right. This is how they make those lions behave. Easy. And so here's the thing. When it comes to money, when it comes to a budget, all right, a budget is the lion tamer's equivalent to your money. You crack this thing, and this is the budget is what's going to make the money behave. Now, in preparation for this message, I thought, okay, there are all these different ways you can talk about budgeting from a biblical perspective. All right, what aspects do we want to cover today? And so as I was getting ready to write, I started asking people, hey, we're going to talk about budgeting in church, what the Bible has to say about that. Is there any particular aspect of that you would want to hear about? And the answers I got were fun. My favorite one was this. Budgeting? The Bible talks about that? Really? And I thought, well, I'm going to have some fun with this person. So I told him, I was like, well, no. But the board says I have to talk about it, so I'm just going to make some stuff up, right? So the Bible really does talk about budgeting, and it does so in a number of places. One of them is Proverbs chapter 27, one of my favorite proverbs that goes after this topic. Here's how it starts. The writer says, be sure you know the condition of your flocks. Give careful attention to your herds. Now what you have going on here is the proverb begins here. Basically, what the writer is doing is telling you what a budget is. It's telling you what a budget is. In a minute, they're going to talk about why we want to have one, but as it gets started, it just kind of defines what a budget is for us. And I get that some of us, we hear that and we look at this and we go, all right, I didn't go to preacher school, but this seems to be talking about herds and flocks and sheep and goats to me, not like dollars and cents and budget and papers and Excel sheets. Like, are you serious about just making stuff up today, all right? So let me explain what we have going on here. And to the audience that this was written, all right, a person's primary source for purchasing power, their income, it was dependent upon primarily your livestock or your crops. There's a little bit of cash currency, but the overwhelming majority of financial transactions took place through your livestock or your crops. So when the writer says here, when they're saying, hey, be sure you know the condition of your flocks, give careful attention to your herds. It's saying, look, when it comes to the income you have in your life, the money that's coming into your house, the money that's leaving out of your house, you need to be paying attention to this. You need to wrap your brain fully around the income and the expenditures in your life. Gang, on the most simplest level, that's what a budget is. On its most basic level, a budget is a record of our resources. It's a record of our resources. It knows, hey, this is how much money we've got coming into the house, and this is how much money we've got going out of the house. Now, as we continue with this proverb, we're going to see what the writer has in mind isn't just any kind of budget, but what we're going to call a working budget. And with a working budget, you have this crazy idea where you have as much or more money coming in as you do going out. All right? If I've got more going out than I have coming in, I have a wonderful imitation of what the government does on a regular basis, but I don't have a working budget. In order for it to be a working budget, I got to have as much coming in as I have going out. So as the proverb gets started here, it's just like, hey, you need to give careful attention to your herds. You need to know what's going on with your flocks. We want you to have a working budget. And then as the proverb continues, it tells us one of the reasons why we need this. The writer says, "For riches do not endure forever, and a crown is not secure for all generations." In other words, the writer's letting us know that we probably do not have the problem that the character from my all-time favorite Super Bowl commercial had. And if you're not familiar with my all-time Super Bowl commercial, I'm a little disappointed that you don't know that about me, but I've taken the liberty to bring it with us today, so let's watch it.
What do we have?
Severe abdominal pain.
Any pain?
120 over 60.
Is he on any medication?
None.
Doctor, I think you should see this.
How much?
Why, what is it?
He's got money coming out the wazoo.
What do we have?
Money out the wazoo.
Move this man to a private room.
Out of the way, this man's got money coming out the wazoo.
Does your husband have insurance?
Insurance? He's got money coming out of the wazoo.
Oh.
It's time for E-Trade, the number one place to invest online.
Now, some of us got something up the wazoo, all right? It's not money, all right? See, the writer says, hey, look, riches don't endure forever. And he's basically saying, we don't have an unlimited amount of income. And if you have an unlimited source of income in your life, please come and see me after church today, all right? I've got some things I want to talk to you about. But all of us sitting in this room, there's a limited amount of this coming in. And so what a working budget does is it makes sure that we don't run out of money before we've run out of month. Not only so, but a working budget, it keeps those pesky little dollars in line. Because our money, it tends to act like the sheep and the goats in the first part of that proverb. See if this, if you can relate to this in any way, and if you can't, the person next to you probably can, and after I get done telling the story, you can just give them a condescending look because they don't know, you know, this is them and not you, all right? But, you know, imagine the month starts, and you know we've got money coming in. And then the month, you know, kind of works itself out, and at the end of the month, the money's gone. But you're not exactly sure where all the money went, right? You know it came in. And now the end of the month is here, and it's gone, but you'll be darned if you can say exactly where all that money went and what you have to show for it. See, money will do this. It's just like the sheep and the goats. If it's not watched carefully, if it doesn't have a name, if it doesn't have an assignment, it just kind of wanders off. It gets eaten up by some predator out there, and you're like, I know it was here. I don't know what happened to it. A budget, it takes care of that for us. A budget, it's like cracking the whip on the money, and it makes the money behave. Now, this is all in the wrist, and I'm not very good at this. I've been practicing on the staff all week long, and I'm still not good at this. But the idea with the whip is you just kind of crack this thing, and it makes the money behave. That was a pretty good one, right? See, we get this thing untangled here. So the idea would be, you know, I'm going to crack the whip at the money, and I'm going to tell it, you're going to pay the mortgage. I'm going to crack the whip at the money, and I'm going to tell it, that was a good one, right? Yeah, you guys are going to get the groceries, and I'm going to crack at some of this. That wasn't a very good one. You're gonna make sure the light stays on and the heat still keeps going. You're going to crack the whip with the money, and you're going to tell, hey, we've spent enough on Starbucks this month. You know, you got to come back here. We're not going anywhere. Again, with the budget, I'm cracking the whip, and I'm making the money behave. I'm going to tell the money, I'm kidding. You know, where to go, what to do, all right? It's a tool to get the money to do what I want it to. So the writer gets going here. It's like, look, you got to make this stuff behave. And as the writer continues, he's going to let us know that when we have a working budget, good things begin to happen for us when it comes to the money. The working budget, it ensures good things happen. Here's what the writer says next. He says, when the hay is removed and the new growth appears and the grass from the hills is gathered in, the lambs will provide you with clothing and the goats with the price of a field, and you will have plenty of goat's milk to feed your family and nourish your servant girls. See, what the writer's basically saying here is, hey, you take care of the money and the money will take care of you. It'll make sure that you have lamb's wool and goat's milk and the price of a field. Just what you were hoping for, right? Actually, it probably is. Everybody I know wants to eat and live indoors. And that's what the proverb is talking about. See, lamb's wool then is clothing today. Goat's milk then, that's groceries today. The price of a field then, that's a capital investment that increases your earning power. So, you know, that's going to be your vehicle or your home or your 401k. The writer's saying here, look, you take care of the money, and what the money will do, if you will make it behave, is the money will provide for your needs for living. It'll take care. It'll make, if you make the money behave, your basic needs are going to be taken care of. Not only so, but the writer's letting us know, if we'll make the money behave, not only will it take care of some of our needs, but it'll take care of some of our wants as well. See, that's what the servant girls thing is all about. Who in here wants some servant girls in their life? You're like, okay, wait a minute. I'm not sure if I should raise my hand for that or not, you know, because you sound excited up there, but you sound kind of creepy too, right? All right, here's what's going on. Servant girls in that time, this is hired help. This is somebody you're bringing on to help with the farm, to help with the ranch. It's not a necessity. It's a luxury. It's something I'd love to have, but not something I necessarily need. The prophet's saying, hey, you take care of the money. It's okay if you want some servant girls. You can raise your hand for that. And again, that still sounds incredibly creepy. So it's saying, look, it's okay if you want nice things. If you take care of the money, it'll even help you get them. It's okay if you want a flat screen TV. With the Super Bowl coming, you should think about that, right? It's okay if you want new clothes. It's okay if you want nice furniture. It's okay if you'd like a nice home. It's okay if you want to take a vacation. It's okay to have some things that you want. And if you do a good job making the money behave, not only is the money likely to provide you with what you need, but you're more likely to be able to afford the things that you want. So as the proverb gets going here, he's basically going, look, this is what a budget is, and this is why you need one, and this is what this thing will do to you. Basically, the proverb's trying to help us understand, look, if you've got a working budget in place in your life, you can eliminate the anxiety that comes with trying to figure out, we got enough money to last a month. You can eliminate some of the guilt that comes with, hey, am I really managing the resources that God has entrusted to my care well? And you're set free to not only have your needs met, but to have some of the wants met as well. Like Paul will say to Timothy when he's talking about money, that God has given us this as a gift for our enjoyment. It sets you free to be able to actually enjoy it the way it was meant to be. But here's the thing. It's one thing to know, hey, this is what a budget is and why I need one and what it'll do for me. It's a whole nother thing to understand, like, how to put one together. Just like it's one thing for me to know, hey, I'm going to get in the cage with the lions. I need a whip with me. As you saw there, I clearly need some more practice, right, before I get into the cage with the lion here. So what I want to do next, in a really basic kind of way, is just walk through, okay, how do you build one of these things? Three simple ideas, all right? First one is this. Basic number one is it starts off with keeping track. And there's an easy part of this and a more difficult part of this. With keeping track, I'm going to keep track of all the money that's coming into the house and all the money that's coming out of the house. And so the easy part to keep track of is keeping track of what's coming in. That's not too difficult. The more intense part, the more labor-intensive part, is keeping track of all the money that's going out. Now, there are all kinds of methods for doing this. You know, after first service, I had all kinds of folks catch me at the door and say, you could do this, you could do this, you could do this. It doesn't matter to me what method you use, as long as your method works. Now, if you don't have a working method, I'm going to give you two options today, a low-tech option and a high-tech option. Here's a low-tech option. You go to Walmart. You buy a 99-cent notebook. You come home. You get a Sharpie, a marker, or a crayon, and you write on the front of your notebook, spending journal. And then you open your notebook up to page number one, and on the top line of the first page, you write down $1.05 - journal. And then every time for the next month you spend money on everything. Every time. Look at a person next to you and tell them, every time. Every time I spend money, I just put it into the journal. You know, whatever I spend it on, I write it in, I put it in there, and I do that for a month. That's the low-tech option. If you're a Luddite, you just go on out to Walmart, you get yourself a little book there. The high-tech option is not that much different. You turn on your computer. You open up Excel. You save the document as spending journal. And then every time you buy something, you enter it in there. This is what I bought. This is what I, you know, how much I spent on it. If you're smart, you can make Excel do the math for you, all right? All right? You start off with keeping track, step one. Step two is then you begin to direct the money. All right, and this is where you've been keeping track of everything that's coming in and everything that's going out for the last month. Now you get a budgeting form, right? And again, there are all kinds of them out there. Some are online, some are not. It doesn't matter to me. If you don't have one, you can go to our website on the messages page. You can download one for free, all right? It's the one that we use in our home. I put it up there. I don't know. Maybe I should have given royalties to somebody. I don't know. It doesn't matter. I've got it. It's mine, and I'm just sharing it with the world. But the idea is I've been keeping track for a month. Now I've got this form, and it's one of them smart Excel sheets. It does all the math for me. I enter in, here's the income. I've been keeping track of all my expenditures. I can put them now into the different categories, and here's all the outgo. All right? Once I've done that, and again, these and it'll some of those things, the expenses stay the same every month. Like the mortgage doesn't change. Right? Some of them, there's some flex. The taxes, the groceries, there's some flex there. Some of them flex a lot more, the DTE bill, the car gas, but I'm getting it all in there. I'm directing where this stuff is going. And then once I've done that, I'm ready for step three. And this is where the rubber meets the road. I'm going to balance it. And what we're shooting for here is what Dave Ramsey refers to as a $0 balance. All right? Now, some of us, this is going to be easy. And some of us, this is going to be more difficult, right? Some of us, we're going to enter in all the income, we're going to enter in all the expenditures, and then we're going to have a surplus. We're going to have more money coming in than we have planned for going out. And that's a wonderful place to be. The job is not done, but your job is easier, right? What you have to do, that extra money, is you have to give every one of those dollars a name, every one of those dollars a job, so that by the time it's all plugged in there, the balance is zero. Every one of those dollars has direction. It's got some kind of job that it's doing. Because if you don't, those extra dollars just wander off. They just get ate up somewhere and you don't know where they went. You got nothing to show for it. Now, it's your money. If you've got a surplus, you get to decide what those dollars' names are. It might be investment, it might be giving, it might be saving for a bill, it might be some kind of vacation, it might be your kid's college, whatever. It's your money. You just decide what are we going to, every dollar gets a name, every dollar gets a job. So by the time all the income is in and all the money is, all the expenditures are accounted for, we're at zero. That's the easy job. Others of us will have a harder job. Because we're going to enter in all the income and all the expenditures, and we're going to have a deficit. We're going to have more going out than what's coming in. And if that's the case, we've really got two options. There are two things to do about that. Option number one is increase the income. All right? If I don't have enough coming in, I got to increase what's coming in. That means that somebody who's not working in the house is going to start working in the house. The folks who are working in the house now, they're going to work more. They're going to work some overtime. They're going to get a second job. They're going to get some kind of side hustle, whatever. Here's the thing about work. It's a money-making scheme. It's just how it works. The more I work, the more money I seem to have, right? And so if I don't have enough coming in to cover what's going out, option number one, which is oftentimes the easier option, is to get more coming in. Now, option number two, If I've got all coming in that I can get coming in, and I still have more going out, option number two is I decrease the spending. I make sure there's less going out than there is right now. And that's flat out, that's more difficult. And here's why. It means I have to learn to tell myself no where I've been letting myself say yes. And that's not easy. But if I can't get more coming in and this thing won't balance, I have to learn to tell myself no. I have to decrease the spending. Now, again, there are all kinds of ways to do that, and it doesn't matter to me how you figure out how to do that as long as you figure a way out. For some of us, that might mean, hey, we're a two-car house. We're going to go down to be in a one-car house. For some of us, that might mean, hey, I'm not going to drive a new car anymore. I'm going to drive a used car now. And people will hear that and they'll be like, well, you have to have a new car. You've got to have something reliable and dependable. You have to have a new car. No, you don't. No, you don't. Don't let that car salesman tell you that, right? You don't have to have a new car. I have been driving used cars for over a decade now. You don't have to have a new car. Now, I don't have anything against new cars, other than the fact that they lose about 30% of their value when you drive them off the lot, and they cost 2 to 3 times as much as my used car. And my budget balance a whole lot easier when I'm driving a used car than when I was driving a new car. But you have a new car if you can afford it. If you can get the budget to balance with a new car. If I can't get the budget to balance with a new car, then I need to think about a used car. Or for some of us to get the budget to balance, it's going to mean instead of having like 50 different, you know, 200 different cable channels and 30 different streaming services, I'm going to go down to basic cable. I know, it's a crazy thought, right? Or I remember my brother-in-law doing this when he was a young married, and he's talking to my father-in-law, and my father-in-law said to him, you need to cut the cable off altogether. And my brother-in-law said, you can't not have cable. That's a utility. No, it's not. You know, so for some of us, it means we're not to balance the budget. I'm not going to have cable. I'm not going to have a streaming service. I'm going to use an antenna. Or maybe I'll read a book, right? All right. For some of us, it's going to mean I'm going to Metro PCS instead of Verizon. I'm going to run around outside instead of paying a gym membership. I'm going to quit eating out, and I'm going to buy food at Aldi, and I'm going to cook it and eat it at home. Again, it's not easy. It's easier to make more money than it is to spend less, because I got to tell myself no where I've been letting myself say yes. But it can be done. I've watched people do this. I've watched people in an effort to make the budget balance, cut out all the fluff. I've watched people sell cars and toys and vacation spots. I have watched people, they were so serious about this, they came to a point where they realized, I can't afford this house and this neighborhood. And they sold their house in that neighborhood, and they bought a different house in a neighboring neighborhood because they could afford to live there and they couldn't afford to live here. If it won't balance, either I got to bring more in or I got to make sure less goes out. It's not easy. It doesn't happen overnight, but it is possible if we want it bad. We can do it. I've watched people do it. So, wrapping this up, three ideas for you. If you're doing this thing and you know, you may be in one of our small groups or you've been kind of riding along with us in a series, but you haven't been willing to do a small group, and you're struggling with this budget thing, or you're struggling with the debt thing that we talked about last weekend, get some help. If you've been doing this alone and doing it alone isn't working, get some help. In our small groups, two things are happening. The homework they're having you do, it's building you up to a place where you're going to have a working budget and you're going to have a plan for getting after debt. If you're in the small group, you're in the right place. If you're in there and you're still struggling with this, ask your leader or ask some of the people who are in that group with you. We have all kinds of folks who are part of those groups, not necessarily because they're struggling with this, because they want to be there to help you. Ask for help. If you didn't sign up for a group and you find yourself needing help, that's too bad for you. You should have signed up for a group. I'm kidding, all right? Now, if you didn't sign up for a group, but you're realizing, I need help with this stuff, put it on your connection card. I would love to help you get connected with folks who are doing this well, who've walked this road before, and they would love to help you with this. Get some help. Number two, don't give up. Don't quit. This is a learned skill. And like any other skill that you have learned, this takes practice and this takes time. You may put your first budget together and you live through that in the first month and it did not go well. You failed. Don't quit. Do it again the next month and the next month and the next month. If you will be faithful, if you will do the work, you will get better at this. You will eventually get to a point where you will succeed. And then finally, number three, pray. Ask your Father in heaven to help you with this. And if you're wondering, can I really ask God to help me with money? Yeah, you can. What did Jesus say when he taught us to pray? Give us this day our daily bread. He's talking about resources there and telling us to ask our Father in heaven to help us with that. And if you're sitting there and you're wondering, okay, I've messed this up so badly. Is God really going to help me now? My answer would be it depends. It depends what you do with this moving forward. Because there's this biblical principle, and it's two-sided. One side says that if I continue to be unfaithful, foolish, with the little bit that God has given me, God isn't going to give me more. I can sit there all day long and be like, oh God, send me more money, send me more money, send me more money. If I've been a doofus and I continue to be a doofus with what he's already sent me, God's going to look down from heaven and say, uh-uh. No, if you're faithless with a little, I'm not going to give you more. But the flip side to that principle is that if we'll be faithful with a little, God wants to give us more. That if I'll be faithful to pay attention to my flocks and my herds, if I'll be faithful and stop living as though riches endure forever, if I'll be faithful to do the work of putting together a budget and then telling myself know where I need to and living into that thing, that God wants to help me. That he's up there in heaven watching that go on and he's seeing you doing that and he's nudging the angel next to him. He's like, look at that one. That one's got some sense. We could do something with that one. If you'll be faithful, God, if you'll be faithful with a little, God is happy to help you with more. So, number one tool to make the money behave, it's a budget. It's a simple record. Hey, this is what's coming in. This is what's going out. We're going to make this thing work. We're going to make sure we have as much coming in as we've got going out. It makes the money do what we want it to. We take care of the money. The money tends to take care of us. It's not easy, not simple, not quick, doesn't happen overnight, but it's something we can do if we'll do the basics. Would you stand with me, church? As we continue in worship this morning, we are going to have some time to pray together. And so up here in the front row, it's all open. And if there's something that we can pray for you about in any way, whether it's something we've talked about today or something completely different going on in your world, we would love to do that. In just a minute, I'm going to pray for us as a group. And during that time, some of our staff, some of our leaders are going to come forward. But afterwards, we'll have you sit back down. And if there's anything we can pray for you about, we'd invite you to come on up. Have a seat here in the front row. And we would love to pray with you about that. If there's nothing that we can be praying for you about, that's okay. As you're taking some time in your seat, I would encourage you just to be quiet before God and just be open to what God might be speaking to you in your life. And it might be something, you know, that ties into what we've been talking about today. It might be something completely different, and that's fine. And if that's weird for you, that's new for you, you're not sure how to do that, we'll have questions up on the screen that are designed to help you think through some of the things that we've talked about today. Feel free to use those. So let's pray together, and then we'll continue. Father, thank you just for really practical wisdom for our lives in the Bible. Just simple things that relate to everyday life, but that can have such a significant impact on our day-to-day lives when we get them wrong. Fathers, we want to ask you to help us, please. We want to commit ourselves to doing all we can to be faithful with what you've entrusted into our care, to do the best we know how, to think ahead, to be disciplined, put together a plan, to to work hard to do that together. God, help us, please. Help us to see where we need help and to ask for it. Help us to live into self-discipline and say no to ourselves when we need to. God, help us to get to a place where the money is really working for us the way that it's meant to, where it's actually a blessing in our lives. It takes care of our needs and even some of our wants too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.